you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 1st. First day of April 2019.
April Fools.
April Fools. It's really not 2019.
Okay, it's over now.
Okay, put on your green. It's St. Patrick's Day. No, April. No. I want to jump right into this program because last week we had our beloved friend Tom Richardson, who's really traveled the world. We didn't get to talk much about all the ways God has used him. He's been a dear, dear friend, a racquetball buddy initially. So we got to share just a little bit about the verse that we were working on at that point. And last week it was Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we were even referencing the Roman road, a method, a means, a ways that people have used in the past.
Yeah, apparently pretty famous. I didn't know about it.
Yeah, sharing the gospel. Today's verse is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're going to read about that, talk about it. And my little memory tip for this one, the last 2 weeks we had Romans 3:23 and 6:23, and I said the first word following those was four, because 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Well, this one, my little own personal memory tip, how do you remember what follows Romans 5:8? But God, but. Doesn't that look like the letter B, an 8? Romans 5:8.
Oh, that's good.
And think of 8. What does that letter look like? B. And so you remember but. So that's my way of.
That's good.
No extra charge for that one. But if you're thinking, what's the first word after Romans 5:8? Well, 8 looks like a capital B. So that's my way of remembering. But God demonstrates his own love for us. Wow. His own love for us. That while we were still sinners, basically while we're far from God, Christ died for us. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to give Tom ample time to share a little of his testimony, and then Marianne, you'll begin with the reading. And then, Tom, we want to hear a little shout-out for Diane. And I don't know if I remembered the story last week you were sharing with us before we went on the air about meeting up with Diane, but I think that would be a great start after Marianne reads. And then I know you have a lot to talk about, because God, in fact, has demonstrated his love and continues to demonstrate it through people, through circumstance, through his love letter, through John 3:16, through many means to convince people, to woo people to himself, that he does in fact love him. So we'll talk about that today. But Marianne, maybe you can begin with a reading.
Okay.
And thank you, Tom, for joining us again.
Yeah.
I know your schedule is such that the Lord has you locally now, where, I mean, you're usually in Indonesia or parts of the world. You've traveled all over. We'll have you share a little about that. But
I wish we had just taped our conversation with Tom last week.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
All right, we're all opening up our books, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan, and we're turning to page, help me out, Marianne.
59.
57, there we go, 59.
Okay. Did you hear me just say taped instead of recorded? I said, I wish we had taped. See, that's antiquated now. It's supposed to say recorded. Oh. My kids told me that. All right. 7. Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Now, you might say, wait, the book says proved, but you said God demonstrates. Well, when I talked with Robert J. Morgan, the author of this book, and that program is archived, if you go back to our website, greatnewsradio.org, he said sometimes he blends verses, sometimes he uses this verse because of a preference, or he grew up memorizing this. So many of you that are maybe memorizing this verse through the King James Version, so sometimes there might be a different verse that I'm memorizing, or if you got the 100 verses from me, I think those are more like NIV, so, memorize the verse you're memorizing, and that's fine. We don't all have to do the same verse, but he does sometimes have different verses in the book versus the 100 verses that he sent to me or submitted.
Yeah, so, different version. Okay.
Yeah, but that's okay.
When Charles Evans Hughes, America's Secretary of State in the 1920s, attended an important meeting of the Pan-American Conference, he gave his interpreter an unusual request. He wanted a summarized translation of what was being spoken in Spanish or Portuguese, but he added, I want you to give me every word after the speaker says, but. The word but is a conjunction that implies a sudden change of direction in the thought.
Where's Rob?
I know.
Here we go again.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. And when we see this word in the Bible, it's important to understand every word that follows it, especially if the phrase is, but God. And here's some examples. But God said, no, your wife Sarah will bear you a son. Genesis 17:19. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Genesis 45:8. I'm about to die, but God. Genesis 50:24. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 20:15. But God was watching over the Jewish elders. Ezra 5:5. But our God turned the curse into a blessing. Nehemiah 13:2. But God will redeem my life from the power of Sheol. Psalm 49:15. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. But God was with him. Acts 7:9. But God raised him from the dead. Acts 13:30.
We need a hallelujah.
Yeah. But God gave the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:6. But God, who comforts the humble, comforted us. 2 Corinthians 7:6. But God, who is abundant in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. Ephesians 2:4-5. Romans 5:8 is perhaps the greatest of all the but God statements in the Bible. But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's a memory tip. If we read and study a verse in its context, we can more easily memorize a verse and its reference. This verse is found in the middle of the paragraph in Romans 5 that runs from verse 6 to verse 11. The whole paragraph is worth memorizing, for it contains some of the richest verses in the Bible about the willingness of Jesus Christ to offer himself for our sins. Read this paragraph repeatedly to understand the context for verse 8, and memorizing it will come much more naturally. And here's a quote. Christ died for us. Here is a simple sentence in four words. The first two words state a historical fact. Christ died. The second two add the theological significance for us. The full four form the crux of the gospel. Christ died for us. Never did four short words hold bigger or better message. J. Sidlow Baxter.
Tom Richardson, thank you for joining us. Christ died for us. He died for you. You were an engineer 40-plus years ago. Tell us a little of that story.
Well, that's what I thought I was going to be. I graduated from high school and went off to study engineering at what's now called the Missouri University of Science and Technology. Got a degree in engineering from there. During my college years is when I really surrendered my life to Christ, when I was 20. I was back at my hometown, which is Springfield, Illinois, at, I think, Thanksgiving, and an insurance executive said to me while I was there, he said, would you come back to Springfield after you graduate and start an outreach to all the youth that are coming into this town because of the new college? And I said, no. I grew up here. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm tired of hearing about Abraham Lincoln. I'm gone. Yeah. Then when I was home for Christmas, my pastor said to me, that which will get you every time, he said, would you pray about it? And when I prayed about it, the Lord sent me back. And so I got a job as an engineer with the Illinois Department of Transportation. I worked at the headquarters in transportation analysis. And we started that coffee house outreach called The Lighter Side of Darkness. And the kids started calling it by its initials, and that caused problems with the parents. So, no, you are not going to LSD. And so, but the Lord did some incredible things through the things we did and the outreaches we had. In 3 years, we saw about 500 young people come to Christ.
So at the time, you're, if you will, full-time engineer, making some money, and yet you're seeing God on the side when you're volunteering and helping start this outreach to the kids, people coming to Christ. There's probably a stirring in your heart. Were you thinking, should I consider this full-time someday? Or were you like, hey, I got to make money? And
originally, thinking about doing this full-time or anything like that. In fact, I grew up in a Christian home, and I have a very, what would be called, a straight background. You know, I've never smoked anything. I've never tasted alcohol. And the people I was with, you know, if it burned, they'd smoke it, and if it poured, they'd drink it. And so I was driving home one night, and I said, Lord, why do you have me here? I said, I can't relate to these people by common circumstances. And if the Lord ever spoke to my heart, he did that night, and it changed my life. He said, you don't relate to people by common circumstances. You relate by common need.
Oh, wow.
And oftentimes I think that, people go, oh, I don't have anything in common with that person, or, you know, I don't have any way to relate to them. And they're looking at circumstances when they say that. And so they just give up before they ever start. You know, my life circumstances are different. But if you don't look at circumstances so much, but you look at need, you know, then we're all alike. Because we're all made the same.
Yeah. And we all have need for acceptance, for love, for comfort, for companionship. So,
and the need with to have a relationship with the God who loves us.
That's really powerful.
Even if we are not aware of it consciously at this point, but that's our job, to help people see it.
So you began seeing people come to know the Lord. You started getting energized. And then when did Diane come into this mix? And Diane's his wife, his beloved wife of these, what, 40? How many years?
We're in our 45th year.
45 years.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody gets a sainthood, she'll get it. But we had the coffee house, but we needed a place where these people coming out of the drug culture could get a start in their new life. So I got some guys to incorporate and buy this little apartment house, and I moved these guys in with me. I slept on a bed in the kitchen of one of the rooms, and of course I was working and I was doing all this other stuff, and so cell phones didn't exist then. So I slept with a phone by my head, so if someone's going to call me, they need to call me between 1 and 7 a.m., But one of the guys that came to live with me was a guy that I'd gotten home from a little vacation, and someone said, did you hear who became a Christian last weekend? And I said, no, I've been gone. And they told me his name, and I said, that's great. Who's he? And they said, he's the biggest drug pusher in this town.
Oh, wow.
So I met him, and we flushed like $250,000 worth of drugs. And they smell terrible, Mark. I asked him, I said, why do they smell so bad? He said, they're packed in chicken manure so the dogs can't smell it coming across the border.
Oh, gee. Okay. So you flushed them down the toilet.
Yeah, and wow. that took some work because they float.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure the people that lived below, we were at his apartment at that point, and I'm sure whoever lived below him thought, that man up there is really sick.
You did away with a lot of money right there.
Yeah.
A lot of harm,
and
too.
One of his friends came by while we were doing it and begged him.
Oh, my.
Don't flush it. Let me just give it to me. And Lauren wouldn't do it.
Good.
So one day he said to me, Tom, I have an older sister that's a student at the U of I. She's a brilliant student, and she's an atheist. And she had gone to see what Scientology was about and Buddhism and all kinds of nonsense. He said, I want to talk to her about Jesus, but I don't think she'll listen to me. Would you go with me over to Champaign-Urbana to talk to her? I said, sure. And so we came over here, but he did most of the talking. And she was glad for him. She wouldn't have to get him out of jail anymore. But she wasn't interested. She was an atheist. And he left disappointed in her response, but he kept praying for her. And about a year later, she walked into a Sunday church service and walked in with his mother, who had become a Christian and been healed of cancer in a miraculous way. And he leaned over and he said, pray, my sister's here. So we did. And at the end, there was an invitation to establish a relationship with Christ, and she responded to that, and she did so. and changed her life. And 2 years later, I married her.
Yeah, that's close.
So I had no idea such a thing was going on in those original times.
Wow.
So it was pretty awesome.
45 years removed, if you will. You've honored her. I think every time I've seen you or you've stated something about Diane, you say, I married up. God knitted me together with somebody that we're just perfect for each other.
Well, you married up, too.
God does that. God knows our needs. Yeah. He just fills in those gaps.
Mercy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah, what it is, there's mercy. Mercy is like the unmerited favor. We don't get what we deserve. And then grace is we get what we don't get what we do deserve. I forget. There's anyway. So, we are very
Sounds
grateful.
Sounds good.
So
I'm interested in this personal strategy thing that you've been talking about. Just can you just briefly say what that is?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. The verses we've read, the verse we've read is very clear that, you know, we're separated from the God who loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, then if he's brought us to himself, what's our responsibility to bring others?
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we go, well, you know, I'd be glad to do that, but there's nobody that their life is like my life, their interests are like my interests, you know, their hobbies like my hobbies. I don't have very few people in my life that are interested, and people I do know that don't yet know the Lord don't seem to be interested.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know the Lord's called us to be fishers of men. And, you know, I don't know much about fishing, but I do know one thing. You don't catch anything unless you bait the hook.
Unless you're out in the boat, unless you're at the lake.
Yeah, that's right. You don't jump in the water and grab the fish with your hands and stick the bait in his mouth. But
the little Beamer's coming for a visit. I don't know if our listeners can hear the barking in the background. That's very odd for him to bark.
A welcome guest.
Yeah.
So
you have to bait the
hooks. And and so we do that. And so we strategize, you know, do an inventory of the people in your life who don't yet know the Lord. This whole thing of giving up before you start because you go, I'm so different, I don't think the Lord's interested in that excuse.
That's really interesting to me, the way you said that last week, I think, a little bit, too.
Yeah.
That worried about, I'm different than this person. Yeah. I don't think the Lord's very interested in that either.
Well, the whole thing of being motivated.
Yeah.
So let's say that people are going, I can't do it. I can't reconnect. I can't relate. But if someone gave you $10,000 every time you connected with a person and shared your faith, would you try any harder?
Interesting.
It's motivation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad that we would go, I would.
Uh-huh.
How come that money motivates us more than God's love does?
Powerful.
And so if his love is really in our heart and we see it clearly in the grace, then wouldn't we want to be motivated? Mm-hmm. But we have to have a strategy. We really don't get anything done without a strategy. And I think most of us fail is we never develop a strategy.
Well, the thing that interests me about that is so often when people say the word strategy, it's like, you're going to use a formula. It doesn't feel that way when you say it. It feels like, well, gracious, this is important. Let's think about it. How to do it.
Yeah, when you're saying strategy, I'm thinking intentionality.
Yeah,
be intentional about it. And I love the fact that we all have things in common with everyone.
Yeah.
Not the interests, maybe necessarily, but we all have certain needs. We all need to know of God's love. Everyone needs to know that. So we have that similarity.
Well, the strategy, you know, we still sometimes spiritualize that. Like one summer, almost every Friday night, we made homemade ice cream. And we would invite someone over no sooner than Thursday night. Because if you go 2 weeks out, people won't commit to it. They don't want to commit to it. They don't know what they're going to be doing. But no sooner than Thursday night, and oftentimes on Friday, we'd say to a neighbor or someone, can you come over tonight and have some homemade ice cream with us?
Uh-huh.
And they might say, well, you know, we're going to be running errands. And we go, well, it's all right. When you're done, come over. We had people over as late as 10 o'clock. You know, just have them come over for an hour. I bet you could eat ice cream for an hour, can't you, Mark?
Common interest.
And so we developed a relationship out of that. And, you know, I think half our neighborhood had a key to our house.
Like that. This reminds me of Jason Schiffo's, you know, barbecue in the yard. Everybody come in the neighborhood if you want.
Yeah,
great. That's good,
and,
Tom.
And I'm married to an introvert, but when our daughters were quite young, we made the decision we would let our house be the place where all the kids could play.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I did that. It's really remarkable what happens.
Yeah. And that's contrary to my wife's personality, but she saw the importance of that's the right thing to do. My parents were visiting once, and we were in the living room playing on a table game, I think, and my mom said to me, "How many people are in your house right now?" and I said, "I have no idea. You want me to go around and count them?" But it was a decision. It was part of the strategy.
Yeah.
And that's why that is part of the reason. Diane and I have had the privilege now of seeing, I think, 33 of our neighbors come to Christ.
Oh, my.
And people go, "Oh, you go door to door?" We've never gone door to door.
You just threw open the doors of your house.
It's relationship. Right. It's in the context of relationship.
That's powerful.
Well, and you're motivated because of this Romans 5:8 verse, but God, God demonstrates, and I love that, it's his own love. Not just that God demonstrates love. God demonstrates his own love for us.
That's good,
in
Mark.
This.
That's good.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't when we cleaned up our act. It wasn't when we had it all together. It wasn't because we tithed or because of things that we did. It was while we were still sinners, while we were far from God, God had this plan in place to have Christ die for us, for our sins, so that through this he was demonstrating his love and bringing us into that relationship with him.
That'll preach, Mark.
Yeah.
That's really good. His own love, not just love, his own love that he already had.
When I memorized it, many times I left out the own. I don't know, it just seemed unnatural. I just didn't fill it in.
I think I must have too.
His own love for us, and I love that, his own love for us, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us,
and
the Lord Jesus Christ.
What's important is so many times people think, well, I know that way of life would be better, and I know I probably should do something about that, but I don't have the strength to live it out. Yeah. I can't do that. And I go, neither can I.
But God
proves his love. He took the initiative. He provides everything we need. We just have to make a decision.
Yeah. That's really good.
Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we all draw closer to God today so we can experience his love and live in that love through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit as we draw on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world, the Savior that died for you, died for me. Because of our sins, God had to lay out this plan, and his redemptive way was through the Lord Jesus Christ, a great Lord and Savior, a companion, a guide for our very lives, our Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that we get to follow and long after him each and every day. Oh, I hope if you're tuned in and your heart's stirring and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find Tom, you'll come by the Great News Radio Center, you'll find somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and ask them about how to have that relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And we'd all love to see today being your birthday, that new spiritual birth that would happen today. Oh, we serve a great God, and how fortunate that he draws us to himself.
That's right.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Tom Richardson with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.